Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Radio, where you learn how to get your money mind right so your wealth and happiness will follow. I'm your hostess and guide through the murky money waters unto the promised land of debt freedom. I'm Heather Wagenhall. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a fabulous show packed for you. We have best-selling author David Glasser of the book It's My Money and I Want It. And it goes perfectly with today's key. We are in our ninth key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series, and that would be Create Credit. Woo! The one that we probably all want and perhaps need a bit of help with. So never fear, unlockyourwealthradio.com is here to help you solve your money woes. And we have an incredible guest to do that today. So if you are a new listener, welcome to the broadcast. We are so glad to have you. We have such an international following. I'm so excited. I'm going to have to learn some more languages. I thought I was okay with the five that I have, and I can't write in pinyin in the Asian form of Cantonese or Mandarin, but it appears that we have some more Asian countries following us, and I want to welcome our new listeners from Taiwan. I'm thinking that that's so cool that we are getting a bunch of listeners from around the world. In addition to our Australian and New Zealand following, can't leave out my peeps over there or other European countries, welcome to the show. We are so grateful to have you, and we're so glad that you are recognizing that managing your money is not just about spending less and saving more. There's so much more to it, and until we really start addressing our finances for the first time, looking at, oh my gosh, where am I, and where am I going, and why am I not getting there? Because we all know to spend less and save more, but for some reason we just don't do it. And that's where Unlock Your Wealth Radio comes in your life to help you get your money mind right so your wealth and happiness will follow, to uncover those self-sabotaging techniques that you probably didn't even know were having, but they're lying under the murky subconscious that we don't really understand, but you're here to learn, and that's the key. So welcome to the broadcast. If you are new and would like to get in on some of our social media stuff for the latest updates, takes on current events, my opinions about what's going on in the money markets and elsewhere, make sure that you participate in our social networks. We are on Twitter at UnlockYRWealth, at UnlockYRWealth, because they chop you off at 16 characters. And you can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/unlockyourwealthradio. You're also welcome to follow me personally on Twitter at Heather Wags. That's at Heather Wags. And you're also welcome to friend me on Facebook as long as there are slots available. And we're also on LinkedIn and about, I don't know, 8 bazillion other social media outlets. But those are the big ones that most people follow. So be sure to add us or friend us or fan us, so you can get the latest information to help you manage your money better in less time with my proven strategies. And one of my proven strategies is that I never know enough, and I'm always hungry to learn more. New techniques when it comes to managing your mind, managing your emotions, and managing your money. And today I am so excited to have our special guest that we have joining us, David Glasser, because he looks at debt collections from a completely different viewpoint. He's best-selling author of the book It's My Money and I Want It. And I just think he has the most unique perspective, and I hope we uncover some good stuff for you today. So let's welcome Harris to the broadcast.
Welcome to the show, Harris.
It's wonderful to be here, Heather. It really is.
I'm so glad to have you. You have a great book, and so many people don't even think about their money in these terms, and I love what you did in It's My Money and I Want It.
Thank you. I hope it serves, and it has been serving people well because I've been getting feedback on that. So people are being helped.
Yeah, and, you know, we think of in terms, doggone it, I worked my tail off for this paycheck, and I deserve to keep it, and we don't necessarily think in terms of, okay, you know, I'm going to go to the doctor, and I'm going to receive services, and, of course, he's got student loans that he's got to pay off, and he's got an education I don't have, so doggone it, it's worth my while to pay this professional to examine my injury or illness and pay him what he's worth, because clearly I haven't been able to diagnose it on my own or I had to fix myself. But what happens when there comes to a time that we're paying too much for certain services, or what we thought we paid for in the form of insurance doesn't get paid?
Well, two thoughts along that. One, there's the big hospital bill, right? You go into a hospital for the night, for some reason overnight, and all of a sudden you've got a bill for $10,000. Very expensive hotel room.
Yeah.
What people need to understand is this, is that a hospital is no different than any other business. They are there to make a profit. For some reason, we get their bill, and we go, oh, my God, look at the size of this, and if we have insurance, we pass it on to insurance company, which doesn't necessarily pay it, or we don't have insurance and we have a problem. Now, Heather, if you brought your car into a garage and you said there's something wrong in there, you know, it's knocking or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? They fixed it and then they gave you a bill. Here, Heather, $1,239. Wouldn't you ask what it's for? Wouldn't you want a breakdown of what they did? What kind of what parts they replaced, the time they spent.
Right? Absolutely.
But for some reason, we get a hospital bill, you know, January 5th to January 6th, you know, overnight stay, $12,310. And for some reason, we accept that. We do not. And my story, how I've helped people with this, is that happened, and you'll find out if you call them up and treat them like you would your garage or a contract you had in the house, you want a breakdown. You want a breakdown of every item. Now, when they send you the breakdown, the interesting thing is they have codes with dollar amounts. These codes, to me and you, Heather, are hieroglyphics.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way of understanding. So, but if we question them, we suddenly find out interesting things. Like, they'll have $18 for a code that says an MRS.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, $18. And you ask them, I've been through this, what is an MRS? Well, that's a mucus recovery system, they tell you. That's interesting. They ask you what a mucus recovery system is for $18? Well, it turned out it's a box of tissues.
I was going to say, isn't that just like snot rags?
There you go. There you go.
Please.
And then I've seen things like an AIS, $12. Well, what does it turn out? An AIS is an anti-inflammatory system for $12. What is it? A pack of ice.
Seriously?
Okay. I'm very serious. I'm only speaking from experiences. Okay? So, like any other business, you would say to your garage guy, your contractor, tell you what, here's a box of tissues back. Here's a bag of ice. Okay? That's off the bill. Well, I slashed a bill that was $2,500 many years ago. I didn't have health insurance. It was a $2,500 bill for my son. By the time we got done, it was $1,000. And
yeah.
I wasn't being nasty or not nice. I was just questioning everything. You hear that? $1,500 came off of a $2,500 bill. In the book, there's a story, an article by a woman who slashed $10,000 off a hospital bill. So the thing is here, it's not an isolated thing. They are to be treated like any other business. But we hear, oh, God, it's a hospital. And right away, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What you're going to do is you're going to call them up and you're going to talk about it, just like anything else. And they, by the way, they negotiate and they know where they're crazy with their codes. And Heather, even if you have health insurance, my head, you just don't take that bill and pass it on. That's why premiums for health insurance is on the moon. No. You take that bill, you go over it with the hospital, okay, and then you pass it on. Let them pass it on to the health insurance company.
So is this kind of like when you go to one grocery store and they say, we'll match competitors' ads, and you bring in the competitors' ads and say, look, they have this for $1.50 and you're charging $1.75. I want to buy it here, but I want to buy it at $1.50?
Well, it's an interesting thing because in the book I give a site where you can actually get bids and quotes just like you would on fixing your house or painting or anything else, okay? And you can get, it's like comparative shopping.
For a hospital?
Yeah, sure. You know, they all charge different numbers. Everyone, there's no standard price, you know, like a, Jesus, no different. Doesn't one grocery store have loss leaders than a different grocery store? Everyone's charging different prices, and they all want your business, right? So you put it out there. Tonsillectomy. Now, I have a 12-year-old that needs a tonsillectomy. You know, you throw it onto the site. You put on to doctors. And by the way, you can also check doctors' qualifications, etc. You'd be surprised. Everyone wants to do business. And it's an interesting thing today. I was just reading an article, Heather, about doctors. So many of them are going out of business, so they're really hungry for business, especially if you don't have health insurance. And the reason they're going out of business, it's becoming a very big thing. Not because they aren't earning a living, they cannot collect their living from the health insurance companies.
Oh, yeah. I had to change primary care providers because he went to bariatrics, which is cash only, because he couldn't get paid. He was performing all of this work, and the billing was just ridiculous, and he wasn't able to get paid. So
That's right. The amazing thing, the health insurance company. Yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin. What was it?
No. He switched from dealing with insurance companies to providing a single service medical care that people could only pay cash for because insurance companies won't cover many bariatric stuff.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because doctors are forced to do is they don't collect. They're forced to turn it over to a collection company. A collection company takes 5-6 months if they collect it all, and then they charge the doctor 30%.
Yeah. Pennies on the dollar is what they wind up getting.
Yes, that's exactly right. And an interesting thing about the health insurance companies, they're so bad. There was a testimony by a woman, Linda Pino, who I think was a doctor or something at one time, retired, and she became a claims examiner for a health insurance company. After 6 months, she quit because what she's been forced to do was deny claims, and she actually testified before Congress that she was told to deny life-saving operations. There was no reason to deny them. She said it was amazing. The person passed away. No charges pressed against her or the insurance company. It was just accepted, and that was it. And she said, and all the time, she said she was, while she worked there, she'd be looking out her window downstairs in the lobby. They were installing a $3 million piece of statue artwork.
Yeah, I don't think that's why I'm spending money on insurance personally for artwork.
So this is what goes on with the health insurance companies. You know, but moving on, you get hit with this big bill, and you don't have health insurance, right?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, is phone is ringing with collection companies. Collection companies, they can be tough. And I knew some people who were literally on, not the word chemical, on antidepressants, and one woman was suicidal from all the different collection company calls she was getting. And
wow,
I
that's crazy.
Oh, it was really crazy. It was on radio, by the way. She was on a radio station. I was being interviewed, and she called in. And by the time we got off, she was chuckling a little. And they don't understand, number one, in this country, there's no such thing as debtor's prison. You don't go to jail for owing money. So, we don't like to owe money, but, you know, it's not the end of the world, number one. Number two, that collection company calling you, it's not the sheriff coming to lock you up. It's not a government agency coming to arrest you. It's nothing. You know what it is? The collection company, they have these workers. A lot of them are part-time workers. A lot of them are actors or models. People who need part-time jobs that they can come and go from to go to different castings and things. They're given a script, and that's what they read to you. And I said to this woman, you know, you're not working. Do you know you can get yourself a job probably in a collection company and be reading the script? And then, right. And she laughed. I said, so it'd be you calling you. I said, now do you understand when they call you? It's like, okay. And here's the interesting thing. I said, we could choose, you know, not to answer the phone, but that doesn't stop. She had 20-some-odd collection companies, and she was hurting very bad for money. I said, we could choose not to answer, but it's driving you crazy. The phone doesn't stop ringing. You got to see who it is calling. I said, instead, do this. The collection company is really nothing but a hired gun by someone you owe money to. Now, I'm not advocating you don't pay the bill. What I'm saying is you're right now you're in a position you can't, right? So what you want to do is to stop these calls, these 20 calls a day. And the way to do that is not by not answering the phone, they're going to keep calling, right? But by running the hired gun out of town.
Well, let's take a break right now, and we will talk when we get back on how to run that hired gun out of town. You are listening to Harris Glasser on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and we'll be right back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Dirodori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Dirodori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Dirodori. Call Dirodori now at 480-661-9662.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95. at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Harris Glasser on Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And just before the break, we were talking about collection companies and how to run that hired gun out of town and stop the 2,000 phone calls a day. And Harris, you were getting ready to share some of those tips.
Yes. Now, the first thing you'll notice is I call them collection companies. They like to call themselves collection agencies because an agency sounds very formal, almost like it's an agency of a government. Okay, it's just a business. Now, to run them out of town, you don't avoid the call. You take the call, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you let them keep talking. And, you know, first thing is you need to pay this. And you go, okay, you know, you tell them you can't. But you got to make payments. Whatever. You know, and you let them keep talking and keep talking. Now, the idea, Heather, is I'm going to give several suggestions, but there's a subtlety behind the suggestions, and the suggestions are to have fun and turn the tables on them. So I'll give you some perfect So I'll give you some perfect examples, such as you're talking and talking and talking, and you say to them, you know, I told you I don't have any money. However, look, you are terrific at talking. You really are. You're terrific. I'm terrific at listening. So tell you what, you keep talking. I'll keep listening. I'm not going to pay you. I can't, but you keep talking. And if you get tired of talking, that's not a problem. Call me back tomorrow and keep talking, and I'll keep listening.
Oh, my gosh.
They hang up on you so quick.
Seriously, Now, isn't that going to have a negative ramification? Aren't they going to write something down in a file somewhere?
What are they going to write? Do you know how many of them break the law? There's a fellow, his name is Cummings. The article is in the book. I tell you to Google his article. He makes a living off of collection companies. What happens is he records the conversations because most of them break the law, the strict laws. All right? He records it, and then he sues them, and they settle with him. And he said, insofar as the $100,000 he owes on his various credit cards that they all keep, all the different collection companies call him about, he says, as far as I'm concerned, I'm even. I don't owe the banks anything. He said, you see, because the government took $1 trillion they call TARP, gave it to the banks, it's tax money, they didn't ask me if it's okay, and they gave it to them. As far as I'm concerned, I'm even with them. They got $1 trillion. So I keep suing the collection companies as they bother me, and I make a living off of them.
Okay, so
that
sounds great about that, but okay, I am an individual. I'm young. Maybe I goofed up and I've got this debt. Maybe I lost my job. I got medical bills and I got the collection people calling me. And so I act like a goofball on these calls, right, wrong, or indifferent. And they make a note in my file. Here's the bigger question. At some point, I'm going to need to buy a house or a car or something like that. What's going to happen to my credit if I, you know, I treat them cavalierly?
Okay. First, let me give you one or two more suggestions. Another one was, is that, you know, I'm very busy and I don't want to hang up on you. That would be rude, but I do have a lot of chores. So I'm going to put the phone on speaker and I'll be washing the dishes. And anytime you want me, just yell out and I'll come back to the phone. Okay, but this way you can keep talking, and I'll keep doing my chores, and then you can always call me back tomorrow.
It's like a comedy.
Yeah, you turn it into a comedy. Okay. They run away so fast.
But what about the collection? I mean, what if you legitimately owe the debt?
Okay, if you legitimately owe it and you haven't paid it, it's probably because you don't have the money. Now, collection companies they sign a contract with the person or party that you owe the money to. And that's not good indefinitely, okay? And it's good for 3, 4, 5 months or whatever they agree to. Oh, by the way, collection companies, I mean, they're really getting out there. They're really breaking the rules all over. They're actually purchasing debts from people that money is owed to, and they're actually beyond what the legal limits of the law are in terms of collection company coming after you for those debts. And that's why everyone who has a collection company, if it's fairly old, should Google the law in their state insofar as statute of limitations on debt collection.
Yeah, actually, on our unlockyourwealth.com website, we have a list that was updated probably last summer, so within the last year. But we have the debt collection limitations for all 50 states in the United States on our unlockyourwealth.com website.
That's why we should never say, okay, look, you know, I'm getting a little more on my feet. I'll give you $10 a week. The minute you do that, that's it. The statute of limitations doesn't apply. You've already consented to make payments.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be very careful.
So
now,
if I consent to make payment and then I can't make payment, then what happens?
It does. I'm assuming I'm not that familiar with that part of the law, but the statute of limitations may start from that point on again, all over again.
Okay.
Okay. So now, the idea is you run the sheriff out of town, right? They're not going to call you once you get silly with them. I mean, I'm talking about being silly. I had one fellow say to me, I was hysterical. It was a woman collection person on the phone, and he said, I can't pay you, but you have such a sweet voice. I think I love you.
Who?
He said, I think I could fall in love with someone with a voice like that. She just slammed the phone on him and never called him back again, this collection company.
Yeah, but won't somebody else, like, won't it just go back in notation? Won't they make a note in their computer file saying, the guy hit
what?
On me? And so they...
No, you're not based it on... I mean, he said this. He said, I could fall in love with someone. I mean, he was... I was hysterical. And I go, oh, my God, I'd never do that. But the point here is, like what I said before, there's a subtle thing behind all these suggestions of get silly with them. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Play with them. And they will go away. I had one. I did help someone on one. He had 12 companies after him. I did the first one, and she hung up. He hung up the phone on me, saying, "I can't be bothered with someone like you. I have other people to go after." That's what you want to accomplish, because now, after a certain amount of time, it will go back to the original party you owe them money. Once it goes back. Once you get all, if you have one collection company, I'm sure there's a number of them if you're hurting for money. Now, you figure out if you can get your hand. Let's say I'll make up a number. You owe out $10,000 to half a dozen different people, right? Let's say you're able to get your hands on $2,000. A family member, someone will lend that to you. I mean, if you're broken penniless, you're broken penniless. There's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
So. The first step is you say, okay, I owe $10,000 to very different people. I have $2,000. Well, $2,000 is 20% of $10,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell people, and I've done this for people, is make a list of all the people you owe money, the amount of money next to their name, and the next column, put down what 20% is of each one. Are you following that?
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, you call up the first one, and you tell them, look, I'm on the verge of bankruptcy. I owe a lot of people money, and you can check my credit report. You'll see I'm not lying, right? And if I'm calling everyone, and everyone is willing to take a little bit because it's better than nothing. So there's a sort of psychological thing. Even though the first one you're calling, the minute you say everyone else is going along with it,
mm-hmm.
They're more inclined to go along with it.
Okay.
Okay, now you make them an offer. Less than that 20% because you want to leave them room to push you up a little. Everyone wants to be pushed up a little.
Right.
And that's how I had one fellow. I helped him clear up 12 collection companies. His credit score, I mean, it wasn't great, but he no longer had 12 outstanding debts with collection companies. They were all settled.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, I showed him how to rebuild the credit. His credit score went back up to over 700.
So here's a question that I have for you, and I know this answer because I did a how-to credit video. But for the listeners, let's say, for example, that you have a collection, and you do this technique, and then it goes away. It's well past the statute of limitations. It gets sold to another company. What do you say when you know it's past that statute of limitations of collectability?
You write them a letter.
So you go to a formal
letter. Send them a letter, and you say, you reference you're trying to collect, this amount for this debt, et cetera, that goes back to this and this date, and as per statute of limitations, it is not collectible. That's all you need to do is go on record, because then if they pursue you and, let's say, take you to court, they could get themselves in trouble. You just show up, hey, Your Honor, I sent them a letter. They are breaking the law here. This is the statute of limitations.
So what do you do? Send it certified so you have proof that you sent the letter?
Oh, absolutely. Everything is always certified.
Okay.
Everything absolutely is. I have to have an email address, send it email too, so you have a copy. Every which way you cover yourself.
Yeah.
Because they're ruthless. They are ruthless. But getting back, and at the same time, you know, collection companies will not settle with you. You see, because they only get a percentage of a whole thing. So if a whole item is $1,000, they're not going to settle for $200 because maybe they get 25% of that. So they're not working to make $50.
Yeah, they want to get as much as they possibly can.
They want the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's go to the credit report side of things. So I just did all of this great negotiating. And so I've gotten everything in writing. So I don't send them any money until they send me a piece of paper confirming the amount that they're going to take less. Correct. And then once I get confirmation of that, I send them that. So now I have my certified receipt, cashier's check or whatever that shows that they took the money. I have the letter from them saying that they're going to correct or that they're going to accept less than what's owed. But now I see that they still, you know, credit collection companies are notorious for sticking the debt on there, but they forget to go back in the system and mark paid off.
That's right. Well, that's usually your credit reporting companies,
yeah.
TransUnion, Equifax, and
Experian.
So also, you see, when the party you owe the money to sends you the letter saying, you know, that they've agreed to accept X amount on this and it needs to say in full payment of the debt, you also need for them to say, and they will notify the credit reporting agencies.
Okay.
Right.
So let's say they drop the ball and don't do that.
They usually do drop the ball and don't. But that's okay because now you have that letter. First of all, so you call their office a couple times and bug them. After a couple of weeks, they didn't do it. That's okay.
Yeah,
you
and
have
if you put
letter,
up your new mortgage interest rate because you know that it's supposed to be off of there.
Right. So you have their letter. You have the canceled check. You contact TransUnion, Equifax, the other one, and you say, here's the letter, here's a copy of the canceled check, and I'm refuting this item. Did you have a right to refute any item? And what they do, within a short time, probably a week or a few days, they'll send you back an email saying that they will investigate it. And what they do is they contact that party that they say, hey, we have a canceled check and a letter from you, and they'll verify it, and then it'll be corrected. And just know this, too. You may have something on your credit report, right, that you're not pleased about. Do you know by law a person is allowed to add notes onto their own credit report? So there's something appearing on your TransUnion or Experian or something, and you can write in terms of a refute, in terms of, I wish to add a note, such as, wait a second, I'm doing that right now. I'm helping someone with something. I said to them, it was a hospital bill. I said, write a letter to the hospital that you want a complete breakdown of the bill, not balance due. He had done that, and he never heard from them. Yet it's on his credit report now. And I said, now you add a note onto your credit report that you were not willing to pay it, but you asked them for a copy, a breakdown of the bill, and you say, here is a copy of the letter in which I asked them for the breakdown, and to date they now have not yet given it to me. So I don't know the legitimacy of this bill or the accuracy.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does that affect your credit score?
Well, you know, there's so many different things, and there's so many different takes on how a credit score is affected that's a hard one to call. I've heard if you have too many credit cards, your score is affected, but if you don't have enough, it's affected because they go by a percentage of how much you owe compared to your total credit. If you cancel credit cards, that's not good.
Well, it's a statistical formula, so there's no way to predict how it's going to.
No, not at all. It seems like Each place that you apply for credit just draws their own conclusion. It's so bizarre. You'd think it would be that, you know, in stone, exactly how credit scores are determined. They're not. And by the way, here's a good site for everyone. Okay, it's not in that first book. It's called Credit Karma, KARMA.com. CreditKarma.com. Heather, that's an important one. You know how everyone says get free credit scores, but actually they're trying to get you to sign up?
Yeah, for their monitoring service. Yeah.
Well, CreditKarma.com is a company that is nationwide that works for big corporations. And I guess they're very profitable or whatever. And as a free service, it's free to individuals. They take your Social Security and everything, but they're a national place. Unless they're hacked into, everything is totally safe with them. I've been using them for the longest time. I know people. And they give you your credit score. And if you don't open it up with every, after like 60, 90 days, they'll say, "Hey, Mr. Glasser, we haven't heard from you of late. Are you still with us?" You know, and they'll do scenarios. You could, on this site, they'll say, pump in a hypothetical situation. If I take out an $8,000 loan for something, how will that affect my credit score? And it'll ring it up. In other words, you can create scenarios on it. It's a phenomenal site. CreditKarma.com. It's totally free. I just recommend everyone to sign up. And you could, and it's not like once a year. Every day you can log in and check your credit score.
Yeah, and because of the inconsistency in reporting, that your ideally credit score could change every day based on who reports payments and who reports new charges and how often that occurs. And a lot of people are under the impression that their credit score is a static number, but the number isn't even generated until you pull a credit report. And most people don't realize that.
That's why it's interesting. It was like 60 days or something. You sent me an email. "Mr. Glasser, you haven't checked in lately. Are you still with us?" So I logged in, checked my credit score. And like I said, they have all kinds of phenomenal things on there that you can do and use as tools.
Wonderful. Well, I'll certainly have to check that out. Now, you have just scratched the surface in our time together with all of the goodies and tips and tools in your book, It's My Money and I Want It. Where can folks find you and your book if they want more information, if they want your assistance for consulting? How do people get a hold of you?
Sure. You go to www.claimfinancialhealth.com. That's what you're doing, claimfinancialhealth.com. And on the site, you can see where you can send an email, which will go to info@claimfinancialhealth.com, and that's where I receive emails. But it's an interesting thing. When you buy the book online, you just check off a little thing, and what happens is every month I send, I call it an update. It's really like a tip sheet. It's 10 items a month of great articles or scams or things I refer you to on tips. Every month there's 10 of them. It could be anywhere from one of the 10 could be the latest scam. It could be something on a credit card that's just, this is research going back for a number of years. Every month you get a free, what they call, update. When you buy the book online, you just check off, yes, I want this update. And then what happens is you get an email to confirm back, otherwise monthly you'll go into your spam and you'll never know that.
Yeah, so you want to whitelist you too. Well, that's such a great offer because, you know, what we do know about credit is that the industry and the laws are always changing, and not just to get the book, but to always get continued current information is a wonderful offer for our listeners. So thanks
so
much.
That's why I call them updates.
Wonderful. Well, we are grateful for your updates, and thanks for being a part of the show. And for folks who are driving around and don't have a pencil to write down claimfinancialhealth.com, never fear, unlockyourwealthradio.com is here, and we will have a link on our show guest page for Harris Glasser. You have been listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Don't touch that dial because we have the keys to riches coming up right after this.
Hi, This is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95. at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And after David Glasser gave us, or Harris Glasser, what did I say, David? After Harris Glasser gave us so many great tips, I don't even know where to start with our keys to riches. But this week's key is create credit. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. We're so glad to have you. And the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. It gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, save and invest, building wealth holistically while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that one key at a time, 1 week at a time, and we are in our ninth week of this season, and we are now at the Create Credit Key. And there are so many things that you need to know before you even get into debt collection about your credit. You have to understand what credit is and what it isn't. Credit is an extension of someone else's money on your name and good faith that you will pay it back if and when you happen to use it. What we forget is we are not entitled to this credit, and it is not our money, ever. It's always someone else's money. And what we're doing when we use credit, essentially, is converting someone else's money into stuff for us. Now, it could be cars. It could be crap, like computers and things. Or it could be productive things, like mortgages that create a home for ourselves and our family, or mortgages that help us invest using real estate as a tool. So credit can be good or evil. it's a double-edged sword. It's all in how you use it. And it reminds me of, it's a proverb, and I think it's Chinese, but I'm not sure. And it's about a young man who is dealing with these two tigers inside of him that are dueling, and he wants to know which one is going to win because he's in such a conflict. And what he learns from his master is that whichever tiger you feed will be the one that wins. So what we have to do, and this goes back to all of the analysis that we've been doing, especially when we did our Break the Budget Key and analyzed when we're spending and why to figure out the how to solve it, is addressing how we spend our credit. But let me explain how credit works, because so many folks are fixated on this whole score idea. And the credit score isn't really the determining factor on whether or not you'll be approved for more credit. It's only part of the process. And what people fail to overlook and what got overlooked that caused our credit crisis is the actual underwriting of what is in the credit profile. So your credit is made up of these data entries. It has personal information, and it also has information about what credit extensions you've received in the past. There are 85 factors that go into your credit score, and there are two things that don't go into your credit score. One are Equal Credit Opportunity Act factors, so race, country, color, creed, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, all that stuff does not go into your credit profile. And your income does not go into your credit profile or credit score. So those are separate. Well, the income portion is a separate layer of risk in the underwriting scenario, which we'll talk about momentarily, and we'll get into more detail when we get into our Remember Real Estate Key. There are four layers of risk that folks use to evaluate your credit worthiness, and your credit profile is just one of those four layers of risk. Your income is a separate layer of risk. But to truly understand what your credit is it's a profile that's set up amongst the four different credit reporting bureaus, and it's a way for other lenders to look at and evaluate you as a risk. Back in the days before credit reporting, people had to go on your good word or your relationship with your banker. Banking relationships were very local and very important before we've gone into all of these nationalized bank branches that we have today. And so it was important that where you did your checking and your saving, that's usually where you got your credit extensions. And so they knew you. They knew how you paid your bills because they could take a look at the checks going in and out. They knew what kind of a saver you were and how much you had saved. And they could evaluate whether or not you were a good credit risk for what you were going to buy with that credit. And folks only used credit back in those days to buy significant assets like cars and houses. But now we can buy just about anything on credit. And we have different types of credit, different types of credit scores. But the biggest problem with folks in credit isn't necessarily mismanagement of the credit, but it's erroneous reporting. And what people don't understand is it's not the company's obligation to get it right. They can only report the information they have, and that's only as good as the people that hand-typed it in. So if you were sloppy in printing out your credit report or your credit application and they typed it in and they couldn't tell different letters like your I's from your L's, you might have misspellings in your name, you know, date of birth, if your numbers don't look the way they should, a 4 could look like a 9, things like that. So erroneous information leads to crummy credit scores more often than any other factor. And the way the credit laws are set up is it's 100% your responsibility to make sure that that information is accurate. It's not their job. It's your job to make sure and hold the credit reporting companies accountable and to make sure that the information that your creditors have on you is accurate. And that's most of folks' problems. But beyond the accuracy of your data and your credit scores, you've got to look at your accounts and are they appropriate? Are they being reported appropriately? Did they mark you late when you weren't? Do you have proof of that? You got to take responsibility for your credit and manage it. And again, we're talking about what's being reported specifically. We're not talking about whether or not you're a crazy credit spender or not. But most of the challenge that folks have when they get turned down for large items is all of the little nickel and dime stuff that gets them into trouble. And because they are not reviewing their credit reports regularly to confirm accuracy or reviewing them before applying for a big ticket item, that's where folks get into trouble. So what you need to do is, and this week's strategy, I have a fantastic strategy on how to review and record inaccuracies and how to dispute those for your credit. So you'll want to surf over to unlockyourwealthradio.com to get that this week's strategy. And that's about just reviewing your credit report for accuracy. But there are different types of credit. There are charge accounts. There are credit cards. There are signature loans. There are secured loans like automobile loans, recreational vehicle loans, and home loans. And what's interesting as a service that all of these different credit reporting agencies do is they offer different scoring models for different types of industries. And there's a reason for that. If I am in the automobile industry and I am going to lend you money to buy a car, I want to see how you pay off mid-term debt. Short-term debt is credit cards. Long-term debt is like mortgages. But if I'm a lender on mid-term debt, I want to know how you manage mid-term debt. So my credit scoring model is going to weight more heavily those midterm debts. If I'm a mortgage lender, I want to know how you do with long-term debt. I don't necessarily care about your credit cards unless they're getting you into trouble. I care about how you manage long-term debt. Are you responsible or irresponsible? And those are the things that we need to be paying attention to when it comes to managing effectively what it is that whatever type of debt I specialize in. So we want to pay attention to that when it comes to what types of credit we're going for and how we build our credit profile. And the ideal credit profile is to have a healthy mix of credits and to be making regular payments. To have a true credit history established that you want to be able to use to acquire long-term debt like mortgages and housing, you want to get 24 months of history in different types of debt. And again, we'll go over that in the Remember Real Estate Key, so you'll have to tune in for that episode. But when it comes to creating credit, there are credit qualities that are different. A department store charge card, okay, so if you get a Target card or a Walmart card, is not as favorable to the credit scoring model as, say, a Target Visa or Target MasterCard. And the reason why is you can only spend that money, that credit extension, in that area. You can't achieve cash with that. So it's not a universal card. And if you have lots of credit cards that are only department store cards, number one, they're done by finance companies, not banks, because they don't have the Visa or MasterCard logo. So you're going to have higher interest rates. So you're going to have higher payments, and you're going to usually have lower credit limits. And, again, this is factored into your score as well as an underwriter looks at this and sees what type of credit. And he knows who the subprime lenders are. He knows who the banks or the finance companies are because he sees credit reports every day, all day long, and he uses those to make a determination in underwriting. So depending on the quality of the type of credit is also going to have to deal with your credit scores. Now let me break some myths here for you. What people don't understand when they go to lenders, and it's always, I don't know, automobile loan people, I hate to throw that industry under the bus, but those types of lenders always want to say, oh, don't get your credit pulled, because they're trying to keep you from shopping this loan. And, you know, they say inquiries affect your credit. And if they give you a specific number of points, if they say, oh, every inquiry affects your credit like 10 points, you need to run to the hills, because that person doesn't know what they're talking about when it comes to credit. Because credit is a statistical scoring model. And the way it calculates credit is it evaluates everything in your credit profile and then compares it to hundreds of thousands of other credit profiles that are similar to yours to determine what your score is. There's no way that you can quote a specific point, because it's always going to change. It's always going to be in flux. But all credit that is pulled within a 30-day period, especially when you're shopping for a big-ticket item, is only going to count as one inquiry as far as your credit score is concerned. So you're entitled to shop around. You know, this isn't like some communist country where there's one brand of toilet paper and you can either use that or use your hand. So you're allowed to shop around. So I'm going to bust that credit myth. And another credit myth is that, you know, bad credit haunts you forever. Well, it doesn't, because the scoring model only takes into account the most recent 24 months of activity. A lender can see if you've had problems in the past, but if you've kept your last 24 months clean, paid on time, no issues, no collections, then that's going to bump up your score, even if you've had problems in the past, because people have had problems in the past. But you can regain your stability. You can lose your footing. You can, you know, have a job loss, an interruption of employment. You can lose your income-producing spouse, and all of a sudden you have to go to work. As a parent that was a stay-at-home parent raising children, now you're stuck in the workforce. So you can take and have an interruption in your credit, but as long as you reestablish yourself, your credit score will reflect that real quick. And again, there's a lot of things that you can do to create quality credit, even if you have a rough credit profile. Now, addressing spending issues is for a different show. But what we want to focus on is the quality of our credit report. Is everything in there accurate? Is your name spelled correctly? Are all the accounts yours? Are there any accounts that from someone who has a similar name showing up in your credit report that don't belong there? The key to having a quality credit profile is to pull it before you know you're going to make any major purchases and start disputing those items. Because while they're in dispute, they can't be reported. And then that way it will help you to get the quality credit that you do deserve, that you are applying for, and you can fix those little dinks along the way pretty cleanly. So for this week's Nuts and Bolts, our key statement is, I know that credit is a tool and not a goal for building wealth. I can collect stuff that has no value with my credit, or I can use my credit wisely to leverage my financial independence. I also know that credit is a continuing process and bad credit is not a death sentence. Our key affirmation for this week is, I am a great steward of my credit. And our key commitment is, I commit to preparing and using my credit to build wealth only and using Heather's proven strategies. Our key action item is to pull your credit report and review it for accuracy using our credit report review checklist. These are just some of the examples of things that you can expect when reviewing your credit and work into your plans. Be creative with your strategy so you can achieve financial independence for your future and still enjoy the fruits of your labors today. Thank you so much for joining us. I am pleased that you wanted to learn more about your credit today. And I'm also grateful to Harris Glasser for dropping by, best-selling author of It's My Money and I Want It. And you can find all of his resources and materials, as well as this week's key and our key strategy, at www.unlockyourwealthradio.com, where listeners go to learn how to get their money mind right so their wealth and happiness will follow. I'm so glad to have had the chance to help you traverse the murky money waters to reach the promised land of freedom and financial independence. Again, I'm Heather Wagenhall. Thank you so much for joining us here at UnlockYourWealthRadio.com. Now go out and make it a money smart day.